You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. A lot of the uncertainty in the stock market this week began with worries about what was happening in China. The Chinese economy is incredibly important to ours and to others around the world. But because it's managed by the central government, it can be a little hard to get a clear picture of what's going on. Clayton Duby, director of USC's U.S.-China Institute, is here to explain. Thanks for coming on.
Great to be here. Thank you.
If you don't follow the Chinese economy, or I guess maybe even if you do, this week has been scary. What's happening? Can you translate it to kind of basic principles for me?
I can give it a try. What has been going on for about 5, 6, maybe 7 years is that China has been responsible for the bulk of the economic growth worldwide. And that's because the economic engine of China has been humming along when, for part of that time, the American economy was sputtering in the great financial crisis. And so China has been driving the world economy. And then about a year and a half ago, the Chinese economy began to slow. And despite that slowing, Chinese investors have poured into the stock market, driving valuations really quite high. And then about a month and a half, 2 months ago, they began to pull out. And over the last 10 weeks or so, the market has dropped by 42%. The Chinese government tried to prop things up, but ultimately it seems it's decided to let market forces guide this. And so the Chinese stock market, which is not a good barometer of the health of the Chinese economy, fell dramatically, and Americans and other investors followed suit.
Well, why do you say that the Chinese stock market is not a good barometer of their economy?
Because the valuations are just completely irrational. Even after this big sell-off on the Chinese equivalent of the NASDAQ, valuations are still over 38. The price-to-earnings ratio, meaning what you have to pay to get a dollar of expected earnings, is still 38 to 1, which is twice that of the S&P 500 and is about where tech valuations were at the time of the dot-com bubble in the United States. And so if you went back just a couple of months, that same index, the price-to-earnings ratios, were over 90. There was just no connection with economic fundamentals, with whether or not these companies were hiring, whether or not they were finding customers, whether or not they were making money.
One of the things that we've seen in the past few years and that our correspondent in China, Rob Schmitz, has reported on is the building of a lot of projects within China fueled by debt. You know, these ghost cities that we have seen or airports that, you know, don't really have flights to anywhere. Do we have a sense of what kind of economic activity is really happening right now in China and whether it's real, that is, whether it's, you know, not sustained just by debt or not built up by the government?
The Chinese economy is growing, and it's important to keep that in mind. And it's probably growing at least as fast as the American economy. But it's not growing at the breakneck pace that many people have grown accustomed to. Over the last quarter century, China has averaged double-digit growth. And that, beginning in 2007, China's prime minister was even saying was unsustainable and unbalanced. And so for a number of years, the Chinese government has been pushing to rebalance this economy. The restructuring of the Chinese economy, it's difficult. It's like turning an oil tanker. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, and the progress may be just incremental, and then making adjustments on the way is difficult.
When you think about a regular Chinese citizen, do they have the cash and the kind of confidence in their employment to transition the economy to a more consumer-based system?
One of the things that we have seen is that Chinese consumers are buying. They have been purchasing goods. And one of the things that we've seen with regard to investors is especially smaller investors, is that they're largely locked out of the property market. There's no means for which for them to buy an apartment because housing has become so incredibly expensive in China. But as of about a year ago, still only about 15% of household savings were invested in stocks. Most of what people have been doing with their money has been, you know, consumption. They have partly had to do this because rents, mortgages, all of that has gone up. Food prices have gone up. The cost of living in China has been rising. You've seen factory closures. You've seen some factories that have relocated to Vietnam, to Indonesia, to other lower cost manufacturing centers.
Clayton Duby, director of the USC US-China Institute, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure.